You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. And brothers and sisters, we want you to know again that we love you here at Eurofolk Radio. We're trying to gather you as a mother hen would gather her chicks, which is something that Yahweh had spoken about. He loved us that much, he wanted to gather us all. But we instead kicked against the pricks. And then complained about the pain. But we wish to gather you. We wish to help educate you. We want to help you to become soldiers of Yahweh, warriors of Yahweh. We want to give you the information that you've needed for your whole life or lives and just didn't know it. Attend to the words of Yahweh. Listen to what he is saying to you through all these messages. And realize the privilege that you have because you are one of his offspring. If you are a white person that is pure white, you are the literal offspring of Yahweh. And you should be proud of that. It should bring you great pride to know that you are the child of Yahweh rather than a child of the devil. You are a child of the water rather than the child of the flame. Now, I'm not talking about getting overly proud. I'm just saying that you should be happy to know that you are Yahweh's offspring. It shouldn't make you angry. Now, speaking of pride, the title of this message today is The Lesson of Job. Now, I teach on a wide variety of subjects, including biblical lessons. And I will say that the lesson of Job is the same lesson in the book of Daniel that King Nebuchadnezzar received. It's also, which I've taught on, and it's also the same lesson that we see in the Proverbs. I'll show you how that comes out in a moment. Before we go into this, I wanted to attend to a couple of matters. The first one is, this is the 68th show, and I'm personally celebrating the fact that it has been 68 years, and the Jews still do not have that nation over there that they named Israel. They strategically named Israel to fool you, to fool the world into thinking that they had something to do with Israel the man. 68 years, and they still only occupy a portion of that nation. I know you've heard me say that before, but this is the 68th show, and I'm celebrating 68 years, and these Jews can't get a little nation over there in the Middle East. But they can steal all of our money, but they still cannot have that nation. And you know why that excites me so much? Because Yahweh said they would be vagabonds and wanderers, and he said they would never have a nation of their own, and they never have. How do you like that? And you know what? I don't think they ever will. I love it. You see, I told you before, they have plans and Yahweh has plans. Guess whose plans are going to supersede whose plans? I don't care how much money they've stolen. So celebrate along with me and praise be to Yahweh the Most High. He is glorified once again because his word is proven true. They never had a nation. They never will have a nation. Second matter, I'd like to thank those who have donated to help me in my work. I am in a time of need at this point, but I don't want to keep crying for donations all the time. I leave it in your capable hands. And of course, I leave it in Yahweh's hands. Yes, it helps me to carry on in my work. And I appreciate it very much. I also personally thank those who donate as well, but I like to thank them on the air as well. Thank you very, very much, sincerely from my heart. You know, you can also donate to me by going to davidjamesboston.com and maybe purchasing some of my music. It's very, very, doesn't cost a lot of money. And it's very decent music. Another way you could help me is I'm looking for graphic design work. If you go on davidjamesboston.com, you'll notice that I have photo work. I've just put up some text work that glorifies Yahweh. I suggest you go see it. I'm very excited about it. I love to do that kind of work. And if you need business cards, flyers, book covers, site banners, photo work, or any other kind of graphic work, design work, just contact me at davidjamesboston.com. I'd appreciate it. Now, going back to last week, I wanted to make one comment here. Is I want you to know that the Jews that train the Freemasons train them in the same way that they call all of us animals. But you notice that I call all the other races beasts of the field because that's the way it is. They're not equal to us, never have been, never will be. But the Jews who are trying to pretend they're us call all of us cattle. Well, they train the Shabbos Goy race trader Freemasons to call us the profane. In other words, the public are a bunch of idiots. They're not intellectual wizards like us Freemasons. You see, that's all part of the flattery element when the Jew loves to flatter the Freemasons. Now, many of these people that join the Freemasons are actually kings and queens and dukes and all kinds of things, and they just love and suck up that flattery. And the Jew knows it. So while they're these intellectual wizards, you and I are just the profane. We are idiots, fools, the mob. Wishful thinking, Mr. Freemason. Wishful thinking. But you wouldn't know wisdom if it came up and bit you right in the keister. Okay, last thing I'd like to say is this is a warning for those that are out speaking against the Jews. Ooh, I've caught your attention there, haven't I? No, it's not what you think. I wanted to say I'm sorry to hear that Victor Thorne died. And I believe part of the reason why these people in the truth movement are dying, people like Victor Thorne, Edgar Steele, and others that you've heard recently, is because they don't have the protection of Yahweh. If you're going to be going against, this is just my advice to you in the truth movement. If you are going to speak against the devil and his children, you best be under the protection of Yahweh. Now, this is good advice, and it could save your life. I'm not trying to put you in fear of the Jew. I'm just telling you, when there's no protection, this is the very reason people like Victor Thorne and Edgar Steele were probably killed. I know they said Victor committed suicide. I highly, highly doubt that. And we know what happened to Edgar Steele. I'm not saying that because you're under the protection of Yahweh that you're, you know, he wouldn't allow you to be tried either. So, I mean, I can't, but I'm just saying this. I notice that there is protection under his protection. There's not only protection in the sense of protection from the enemy in as far as the physical world goes, but there's spiritual protection. See, the demons can work on you and make you depressed. The demons can work on you and make you sick. The demons can work on your life. And somehow Yahweh protects you from depression. Protects you from these types of attacks. My life isn't going very well right now. This is one of the worst years of my life. So when I speak on the book of Job, I have felt the same things Job has felt. I was amazed to see what he says. However, my trial is nothing in the magnitude of his, as you will see in a few minutes. Yahweh gives these lessons for a reason. And when I put this book, see, there's, I believe, 42 chapters, I think, in the book of Job. And I don't think we should read every one of these chapters on the show. It would take many, many weeks. But I'm going to give you a brief synopsis of the book of Job right now. And then we're going to read some scripture. You see, like King Nebuchadnezzar, Job, he was a man who had great, he was a great man of the East, let's say. He was probably the greatest man of the East. He had his own kingdom of sorts, as we shall see. The father must have known something was in his heart. And that's why this was allowed to happen to him. And it is very shocking to me to see what happened to Job. See, as we will find out, Job had become somewhat of an egotist. And he loved it when he went into a city or a place and everybody recognized him. It was sort of like a Hollywood star. And I mean that literally. And so it went to his head a little bit, even though that's not what you would think the book of Job is about. Now, I'm going to tell you that the test in the book of Job is not just on Job. You may be surprised when I tell you that the devil himself was being tested. And what I believe this is the main test of the book of Job was on the devil. I know that sounds surprising to you. I'll show you why I say that when we read in the scripture. So after, you know, Job was not looking for trouble. I have to agree with him. He wasn't bothering anybody. He was obeying Yahweh. And then he lost everything. And it happened quickly. And in Job's defense, Job wasn't used to living on the bottom. Job was used to being where he was. So when he was brought down, he wasn't used to that. He didn't know how to deal with it properly. Yes, he began to deal with it properly. And it was amazing how humble he became. But then as his so-called friends got involved, he found out about his friends. You know, as I'm going through what I'm going through right now, I found out a lot about people I've known in the past. Your friends are not always what you thought they were. I'm not trying to turn you against your friends. I'm trying to tell you that there's only one that you can trust totally, and that is Yahweh himself. That is one of the themes of the book of Job. That is one of the lessons that we learn here, that your so-called friends, when you're going through the times of trouble, instead of comforting you and easing your pain, they'd rather cast judgment on you and get religious. Or they wouldn't help you at all when you thought, geez, I thought this person was my friend. I thought they'd help me. No, Job's real friend is Yahweh himself. But Job also hurt his friend Yahweh. And I'll show you how that went along. See, Job started after he lost everything. He was fine with that. So then the devil said, well, if we attack him with some physical sicknesses, which is proof that the devil and his demons are responsible for many of the sicknesses that are in the world. See? Or you are responsible for sicknesses if you've let yourself get into that condition and opened the doors to the devil and his children. However, Job's friends came. And when they spoke to him, they gave him what sounded like good advice. But, you see, love covers. If you see somebody's down, you may want to show them love if you're their friend. You may not want to kick them some more and aggravate them some more what they're going through. You may wish to help them actually and love them. That's one of the problems our race has, is loving one another. I'm not talking about the Jewish lovey-dovey Jesus garbage. I'm talking about love. Sometime you might know something about your brother or sister, and you can either go and tell it, or you can cover it. Let Yahweh deal with it. Pray for that person. Love covers. And that's a biblical principle. So, what we see is that more people joined this round table with Job, and the more that they kicked against Job, the worse his speech became. At one point, Job thought of himself so highly that he implied that his righteousness equaled that of Yahweh's, so to speak. Now, this caused all kinds of problems, you see. And if Job had never gone through any of these things, this would have never come out. You see, we need to, as men, we need to keep our feelings to the best of our ability. We need to keep control of our vessel. Now, can you blame Job that he lost everything? And then all he had left was some so-called friends. And instead of comforting him, they kicked on him and aggravated him further and caused him to say things that he probably wouldn't have said or, of course, shouldn't have said. The humbling of Job is the most radical humbling of a man that I've ever seen. Now, the lesson of the book of Job, and this is okay to tell the end of the story. It's okay because I'm going to fill in the pieces after. There's 41, 42 chapters. We can't read the whole thing. However, there's some points where we really should read. So what happens is, also a younger man spoke last. He was sitting there listening to these elders speak, and he wanted to put his 2 cents in. And according to Yahweh, his 2 cents were fine. But you see, this is a humbling. Job was is the greatest man in the East, and he's got some young'un telling him and preaching to him and showing him that he's wrong in what he has said. Now that is one step further of humbling. So figure it this way. Job's the greatest man in the East. He loses his children. He loses his sheep, his money, he loses everything. Then on top of that, he's suffering many sicknesses. So he's lost his health. And you know that your health is the most important thing that you could lose. But then, on top of that, he realized his friends did not love him in reality. And then, on top of that, a young man, where Job is the elder, took it to him. Now, that's super humbling. But, ladies and gentlemen, it gets far worse than that. The humbling of all humblings comes when Yahweh himself speaks to Job, and he gives it to him like you would not believe. Think of that. He went from the greatest man in the East, and he was humbled not only by the physical things, not only by the spiritual things, but by his creator himself, by Yahweh himself, took it to him. It was a judgment. And many of us will probably be receiving the same kind of treatment. And let me tell you, watching Job go through this is not comfortable. My first, what this is, before I go on with what I'm going to say, is because Job exalted himself, he was humbled. And that is the primary lesson of the book of Job. It's the same exact thing as King Nebuchadnezzar. If you'll remember, when I was teaching in the book of Daniel, I had people write me after and say, I've read that book many times throughout the years, and I've never seen it as clearly as I see it now. See, King Nebuchadnezzar believed that he himself was the author of his kingdom, that his greatness and everything that was forged in his kingdom was forged by his greatness. And Yahweh had to teach him several times and humble him several times until he finally understood. The whole lesson of the book of Daniel is not really the prophecy part. It's the part where men think that they have made these kingdoms. And Yahweh says to those men, I have given you this kingdom. You did not do this. It is my work. It is my greatness. It is my will that forged this out of the rocks of the mountain, that hewn it out. King Nebuchadnezzar had to live like a beast of the field for a time, because he just wouldn't get it. He got it for a short period of time, but like our race, he forgot again. And then Yahweh had to teach him a deeper lesson. And then he remembered and glorified Yahweh, and then he forgot again. Until he finally got it for good. You see, when I speak about my radio show, I did not do all these shows. I'm amazed at the quality of my shows from day one, and I believe it's his work. He gave me this. He called me to speak these things to you. I'm just a regular fellow, a regular simple man that he called to speak to you, just one of many. I am not great. He is great. And you must keep that in perspective. You cannot follow men. You must follow Yahweh. When we follow men, we fall. Oh, get it? When we follow men, we fall. Keep your eyes on Yahweh, keep your eyes on his word, and listen to what he is saying to you. So Job is the same thing. He was given this great kingdom in the east. Oh, it wasn't like a kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, but it was still substantial. To where when he went into other cities, people recognized him. He was a great man. Now, I saw no idea except the fact that he will tell us in the scriptures that he liked it when he went into a city and they recognized him. But then when he said about his righteousness, That was it. You see, our righteousness does not come from us. It comes from Yahweh. What did I speak to you about last week? I told you it related to this. Theosophy teaches you, and the Wizard of Oz teaches you, which is theosophy as well, that you don't need any outside force to help you. All the problems can be solved from within you. You are a God. You can do it yourself. You, with positive thinking and ceasing to negatively think about things, can do anything. You don't need God. You don't need Yahweh to help you. You can achieve righteousness yourself through your intellect. You understand now? If you listen to last week's show, this ought to speak volumes to you. You see, Job thought his righteousness was his. He thought his greatness in the East was done by him. Oh, it wasn't as obtruse or obtuse as King Nebuchadnezzar, or as ostentatious, but nevertheless, it was lying under, and Yahweh knew it was there. It hurts me to see the story of Job. Because it's not just a story of suffering like you may have thought it was. It's a story that has been repeated over and over and over throughout the race of Adam. And it's a story that's repeated over and over and over so that we will understand that it is Yahweh who is our righteousness. We are in flesh bodies. There's only one who ever entered a flesh body that could tame it. And I mean really tame it. Through the temptations, through the suffering, through the pain. You understand what I'm telling you? So I feel sorry for Job. Because he wasn't looking for trouble. He wasn't asking for trouble. And I first begin to question, well, why did you set him up to do this, Yahweh? Well, I think the answer is because he knew what was underlying. And he wanted to, I'm going to blow your mind here because this blows my mind. Another thing that the book of Job is about is what he did with Job. This was a trial by fire. Yes, gold tried by fire. And the dross, which was the fact that he thought he did everything, he thought his righteousness even superseded Yahweh's or was equal to it, the dross had to be removed so that the gold could be of the purest value. Tell me this is not what it's about. Tell me if you've ever heard this preached about the book of Job. I never have. All I've ever heard about is his suffering. Wait till you see when Yahweh speaks to Job, how amazing it is. It is one of the examples in this book, other than the New Testament. There's other places where Yahweh does speak, but this is serious stuff. serious rebuke of a man who was doing his best to be righteous, but thought his righteousness was of himself. He thought his kingdom was forged by himself. Oh, it wasn't arrogance in a sense. It was just an underlying dross in the gold. Yahweh could see that the dross had to be removed from that gold. And so the only way the dross can be removed is through the trial by fire. Now, I'm sure I'm full of dross myself, and maybe that's what I'm going through, what I'm going through. But I'll tell you, it's not comfortable. Now, you think about what I'm telling you. Think about the greatness of Yahweh. Think about the fact that he could see that in this man that he had ordained and had brought into the position he was in, he saw something inside of him, and he knew it had to be removed. I don't believe Job knew it was there. It was just part of his life. Part of where he'd always been. You know, you can love Yahweh, and you can admire him, but be careful that you give him the credit that he deserves. If you think you are a righteous person and that you've done this righteousness yourself and achieved this level of righteousness yourself, that's dross. And it will need to be removed by the trial of fire. You've heard Yahweh say, give to me gold tried by fire. That's what happened to Job. Now, he wasn't trying to remove that dross from Satan, I don't believe. I believe in the case of the trial of Satan here, Halel, is that he wanted to see how far he would go with his hatred. Let's start in verse 1. Now that I've told you what the book of Job is about, that is what it's about. We can glean a few more things from it, I'm sure. But that is, those are the lessons. You see, it says, Yahshua himself said, if a man exalt himself, he shall be humbled. And if a man humble himself, he shall be exalted. We see this all through the book of Proverbs, as I've shown in past shows. And we see it right here. We see it with Nebuchadnezzar. We see that he exalted himself and he was humbled. He exalted himself again and was humbled and again and was humbled. Finally, he humbled himself and Yahweh exalted him. We see in the book of Job that Job was actually humbled and he exalted himself because of being humbled. Oh, he exalted himself, like I said, to a point, but not Yahweh could see this inside him. What happened was he was humbled and then began to exalt himself so that he was super humbled. And then when he humbled himself at the end of the story, Yahweh returned everything to him and redeemed him. See, he redeemed him. What did he redeem him? He redeemed him all that he had lost and more. Because Job humbled himself at the end of the story and said, you are my righteousness, so to speak. You see what I'm saying? You are the reason I've had the things that I've had. It was not out of my own doing, my own greatness. It was what you had given. And so, the lesson of redemption is the same lesson that we as Israelites have. The rest of the world thinks they're going to be saved. Job wasn't saved, he was redeemed. He may have been saved from the dross that was within him by the trial by fire, but he was redeemed. The rest of the world thinks that they're going to be redeemed, but they haven't lost anything to be redeemed. Only those that have lost something will be redeemed. The Adamic race, the race of Adam, which this book is all about. I'm not talking about Job. I'm talking about the books, the Bible. It's about the race of Adam. That's what it's all about. And it's about Yahweh, who is their literal father and God and friend. So no, if you are not a true Israelite, you will not be redeemed, and you will not be saved. But let's move along. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared Yahweh and eschewed evil. In other words, he pushed evil away from him. Now, how can you fault a guy like that? And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men in the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. They were a true family, not like people today. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before Yahweh, and Satan or Halel came also among them. And Yahweh said unto Halel, whence comest thou? And Halel answered Yahweh and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it. And Yahweh said unto Halel, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect and upright man. Even Yahweh was testifying to that. One that feareth God and escheweth evil. Yahweh testified the very thing that it says in the beginning of the book. Now you gotta like that, right? So to Yahweh, this gold was good looking gold. But there was some dross in that gold. Then Halel answered to Yahweh and said, doth Job fear God for nothing, for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him? and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands. Why wouldn't he have? And his substance is increased in the land. Why wouldn't it be? But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. You see, this is what bothers me, is that I looked at it from a non-spiritual view, that here's the devil actually tempting Yahweh. Can Yahweh be tempted? But that's not really what it is. See, Yahweh will show that in a few seconds here. Let's move along with that. And Yahweh said unto Halel, Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Halel went forth from the presence of Yahweh. So Yahweh has now given the devil power over the substance and the increase of Job. And he was told not to touch Job himself, but anything else was game. So, verse 13, and there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them, and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Now, I want to look up, I looked this up before. I'm going to look it up again. Sabaeans. The Sabaeans, they're Arabic. They were an ancient people speaking an old South Arabian language who lived in what is today Yemen, in the southwest of the Arabian Peninsula. The kingdom of Saba has been identified with the biblical land of Sheba. But here's the point. The devil, in his testing of Job, in his destruction towards the substance of Job, took an Arabic people whom he had influence on. Listen again to verse 15. And the Sabaeans fell upon them, upon the asses feeding, and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So we see things here now. What do we see about the devil? That the devil didn't go do the work himself. He used a non-Adamic people, a beast of the field, as he's using today. Nothing has changed. This filthy, rotten devil and his children use these people to destroy us and to destroy our substance. He didn't do it himself. He has people to take care of that work. Are you getting the picture of who the blacks are today? Or who these Muslims are today? Or who the Pakis are today? And now the Asians, some Asians are actually starting to move into the game. I don't believe they're Japanese, though. This shows you that what Dr. Wesley Swift said was true. That there is serpent seed in all the nations. that these people that are non-Adamic are used by the devil and his children to destroy us. See, they didn't come and get those sheep before Yahweh allowed the devil to take control over the substance of Job. Just want to make that clear point so that you can connect that dot with today and begin to understand why the immigration is happening in our nations. Why the Sabaeans of today are coming into your nation like locusts to devour. Verse 16. Now he's just got this first piece of bad news, and while he's talking about this piece of bad news, here comes the next. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep." Yes, there is another thing I must mention to you, and will teach you through this book of Job that there's another theme as well, is that Job blamed Yahweh for taking away everything. I wanted to bring this point up before I forget about it. This is one of the things that made Yahweh very angry, is that even though Yahweh is responsible for keeping Job, he blamed Yahweh for all these things that are happening here because Yahweh took his protection off. But in reality, Yahweh did not do it to him. The devil and his servants and his Sabaeans and his literal offspring are doing this to Job. And all the while Job's complaining throughout the book of Job, he's saying that Yahweh did this to him. That, yeah, why was he ever born? Why even born? Why should I be born when you're going to do this to me? I know how he feels. I've wondered, geez, well, what's the purpose? It would have just been easier not to be born. But it isn't Yahweh who's doing this. He's allowing it because he's putting the trial by fire to remove the dross from his children. No, trial by fire is not fun. No, it doesn't feel good. So, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God," see, "is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Let's stop right there. What did we learn in this verse right here about Satan? See, don't just learn about Job and his trial. Learn what Satan's capabilities are and how he operates. First, I showed you in verse 15 that the Sabaeans, a foreign people, beast of the field, came and took the sheep away, took the she-asses away, feeding. The oxen plowing and the asses feeding were taken away by so-called strangers. But now, this next trial that happens right upon that was fire coming down from heaven. So when that was said to Job, he blamed Yahweh for that fire falling down from heaven. See, the devil did that. Yahweh did not cast that fire down. Remember that he is known as the prince of the power of the air. So he could rain fire down from heaven somehow. Right? We see that he can, because this did not come from Yahweh. This came from the devil, Halel. So now we see that he uses other people to destroy us, but he also can use other things, like fire fallen from heaven, which burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Another one. Of course, there had to be a witness to come to speak of this atrocity. So, we see the operation of the devil. We see we're learning what he is capable of. Verse 17. Here comes the next piece of bad news. Unbelievable. Now, remember what I just said. Because Job said, because his servant said the fire of God has fallen from heaven, Job blamed God for what is happening to him. He said, Yahweh has done this to me. Yahweh has done this to me. Yahweh has done this to me throughout all this book. Not realizing that it was the enemy that was allowed to do this to him. Don't blame Yahweh. He took his protection off. This is a different kind of a trial, ladies and gentlemen. Usually when you disobey Yahweh, these things happen. In Job's case, he was obeying Yahweh, and it happened. Just wanted to bring that point out. Okay, verse 17. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. You see a little theme there? There's a witness to each of these atrocities. Now the devil, again, has used another people, the Chaldeans, to consume or steal the substance of Job. Pay attention. There's more to this book than meets the eye. And you must know how your enemy operates and how that enemy can operate so that you will not be saying, Yahweh did this to me. Verse 18. My goodness, another. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, listen to this. There came a great wind from the wilderness. Excuse me, are you hearing? There came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are all dead. And again, I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Now that's four things that happened right at the same time, virtually. There's a witness from each of them. Two of them were used foreign people, beasts of the field, to destroy Job, and two of them were the wiles of the devil. So the devil could make a great wind from the wilderness. Remember when Yeshua calmed the storm? Huh? He was trying to put fear in the disciples? But Yahweh was able to calm the storm, was he not? Or Yeshua? Think. Begin to connect the dots. Biblically. Worldly. Spiritually. Begin to connect the dots. Verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. I assume he's worshiping Yahweh. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Yahweh gave, and Yahweh hath taken away. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged Yahweh foolishly. See, he hasn't charged him yet. As I told you, he will later. This is the proper response. I don't know how many of us could give that proper response. Only Yahweh knows. But there is no problem, no dross revealed in chapter 1 of Job. Here we go, and the story continues. Again, there was a day, this is chapter 2, again, there was a day when the sons of Yahweh, or sons of God, came to present themselves before Yahweh. And Halel came also among them to present himself before Yahweh. And Yahweh said unto Halel, from whence comest thou? Must be a common question. And it's got the same answer. And Halel answered Yahweh and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Very interesting, walking up and down in it instead of on it. Could be a translational error, but it also could be very interesting where he might be. And Yahweh said unto Halel, hast thou considered my servant Job? You see, what's funny is the devil thought that he was testing Yahweh. Remember I said that in the last chapter? But it was Yahweh who initiated the test. Yahweh was actually testing the devil here to see what he would do. He was using the devil to try his child to remove the dross. But the devil thought he was tempting. Remember I said I was thinking, why would Yahweh allow this devil to try to tempt him? But it's really in reverse. Let's start at 3 again and think about what I'm telling you. Because this is initiated by Yahweh himself. And Yahweh said unto, he's very proud of Job, because Job responded correctly to the trial that he had already received. But that wasn't going to be the only trial, because Yahweh knew the dross was still there. And Yahweh said unto Halel, or Lucifer, or Satan, or whatever you want to call him, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect an upright man, and he's not even a Freemason. One that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Now, Yahweh's saying that he's telling the devil that the devil is the one that tempted him to do this. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. He's playing with this devil. He's not lying or anything, but he's playing with this devil. He's out-deviling the devil in the sense of the devil always thinks he's able to play people without them know what's going on. But see, he's not playing with an ordinary Joe. He's playing with Yahweh, the Most High, the only God. There is no other God but Yahweh. There never has been, and there never will be. Verse 4. And Halel answered Yahweh and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth, he thinks he's tempting Yahweh again. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And Yahweh said unto Satan, he played right into Yahweh's hands, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. In other words, you can put all kinds of diseases on him or touch his bone and flesh, but you may not take his life, because Yahweh planned on keeping that gold once the dross was removed. Verse 7. So went Halel forth from the presence of Yahweh, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. You see, this pig has no mercy. And Yahweh was seeing what kind of a being Satan was. Was he having any mercy in all that he had done? Or did he just want Yahweh's creature to curse him? Now, you see, as I'm teaching, Yahweh speaks. How? It's nothing new than what's going on today. The devil and his children are causing us to disobey Yahweh, to curse him to his face, to ignore him, to eat pig, to cross lines that we should never have crossed, to forget Yahweh. Is this not what the devil wanted? And this is what Yahweh wanted to know. How far will this devil go? How far will he go to make this point? How far will he go to make this man of Yahweh, this man, how much will he put him through until he curses Yahweh? And this devil wants this bad. You can see that, can't you? You can see that the devil took everything away from him momentarily, and when he passed the test, the devil wasn't happy, and now he says, now we'll really make him suffer. So now we see another way the devil can operate is that the devil can touch you, can give you sores. He can give you diseases. His children are giving you diseases with pharmakia. And with poisoning the food and poisoning the air and poisoning the water, as I've told you so many times. Yes, they want you to curse Yahweh. In the book of Revelation, many men will curse Yahweh when they have sores upon them. You see, it's just like Job, only this time those men will curse Yahweh. One thing Yahweh knew about Job is that Job had the strength to pass this test, because Yahweh himself said he was a perfect man and he was full of integrity. Imagine if Yahweh could say that about me, how happy I would be, or about you, dear listener. Can you imagine if Yahweh himself testified that you were perfect and upright? That you have integrity, and you may, and I may, but I've never heard Yahweh testify of it. Can you imagine how wonderful it must be to have a witness like Yahweh in your corner at your trial? Now, I do have tears coming to my eyes, but I'm not a little pussy who likes to cry. I just see the love of Yahweh. That's all I can tell you. He is amazing. And the devil underestimates him, though he has been in his presence, which shows you that the devil is a fool and his children are even more foolish than he. So, Satan is going to go all the way. Listen, again, verse 7. So Satan, or Hillel, went forth from the presence of Yahweh and smote Job. He didn't give him any time. He went right away. Because he's very merciful, like his children. He smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Now, women that are listening right now, I want you to block your ears, because I know how you say I'm a woman hater. I know how you can't take me hurting your feelings, even when I'm not speaking to many of you. I know how you can't stand the judgment if I speak with the authority of Yahweh. So block your ears. Verse 9 tells us a lot. The devil always uses the woman to get to the man. Now, I'm not going to say that this isn't a good woman of Yahweh, but I'll let you judge for yourself. Let's listen to the counsel of the woman. This is why we do not need women politicians. This is why we do not need women voters. This is why we do not need women being involved in anything that has to do with where we're going to end up. Pay attention to his wife's counsel. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God, curse Yahweh, and die. How would you like to be Job going through all that you've been, that all you've gone through right now? You've passed the tests, the initial test with flying colors. And here's a woman that would give you counsel to end up in the pit of hell. What do you think would happen if he cursed Yahweh? Is this good counsel? Then said, I'm going to repeat it again. Keep your ears covered. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? In other words, all that you've lived for so far and all that, you know, you stood for, why don't you just be like Hillary Clinton and change? Forget about your integrity. Just, you know, you were full of integrity before, but now who cares, right? So you don't keep that position. Do you still retain that position of integrity? Let it go. Curse God and die. Curse Yahweh and die. Now listen to you. I love Job. Listen to what he says in verse 10. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? See, he didn't say that all women were foolish, like you people would accuse me of. He said, listen to the retort. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women. He didn't say all women are foolish. Anyway, on to verse 11, because it just gets better. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, They came everyone from his own house, own place. Eliphaz, or Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. Okay, now, I've heard people say, well, wasn't Job sitting down with all these non-Adamic tribes? No, you've never heard Temanites and Shuhites and Naamathites as being the enemies of the tribe of Israel. You've heard of Girgashites, Jebusites, Parasites, etc. So no, these were just Job's friends. You think he was hanging around? You think Job was into multiculturalism and he wanted to hang around with a bunch of Negroes? So when they heard that all this evil had happened to him, they came right out of the woodwork. For they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. That was their intention. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent every one of his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads towards heaven. The outward signs look good here. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights. Well, that's more than any of my friends would do with me. So these were pretty good friends, even though they ended up not being such great friends. And none spake a word. You know, people today, my own race, I can't get 10 minutes out of them. Never mind 7 days and seven nights. And none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Chapter 3. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. This is where he begins to lose it. And who wouldn't have? Who wouldn't have, dear listener? Who wouldn't have lost it after he lost all that and after he's sitting there in the pain with boils all over him? And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born. I know this feeling very well. And the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not Yahweh regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. And as for the night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day, because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why did the breasts that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept. Then had I been at rest. With kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver, or as hidden untimely birth, as an hidden, see that's proper English, or as an hidden untimely birth, I had not been, as infants which never saw light. There the wickedness cease from troubling. There the wicked cease from troubling. And there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they find the grave. When they can find the grave? Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom Yahweh hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. So we see some things being revealed here that maybe he was having some trouble trusting Yahweh. For in verse 25 he said, for the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. He feared something else more than he feared Yahweh, obviously. And I suppose that's why it came upon him. But I do not know. See, we know not what lies in our hearts. That is dross. Yahweh can see it. He knows of it. He knew of it before you were born, I'm sure. The devil thought that he was trying Yahweh, but Yahweh was trying the devil. The devil showed himself to be absolutely unmerciful, showed himself to be a hater like his children are, the Jews. They are not merciful. They are haters, and they seek to destroy our race. And they use the other families of the world to do it. And when you say fire came down out of heaven, you can say technology today is used by the devil and his children. You see, a bomb can come down from out of heaven, or you can shoot a missile at somebody and it's sparking fire, or whatever it might be. Or a great wind, they're using harp to cause problems like Katrina, whirlwinds, you know. They're trying to create tsunamis. As far as I know now, there's been some explosions going on under the sea, and they're strategically exploding, which is an attempt, perhaps, to create a tsunami, to destroy. The devil is no different today than he was yesterday. You can see that he has zero mercy at all. That he wanted to cause the offspring of Yahweh to curse him to his face. His children are doing that to our race today. They are causing our children to offend Yahweh deeply, and have been for a great deal of time, for many, 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 many years. Thousands of years. Yes, they want us to curse Yahweh. They want us to forget about him. They want us to ascribe to Eastern religions, as I taught you last week. Ladies and gentlemen, I waited for Yahweh to give me a message because I planned on speaking this message, but one did not come. Therefore, I knew it was time to speak this. I will get to the other message there, Red Stars from Hollywood. But while we're in the theme, we might as well continue with the theme. I hope that you realize that the devil's children are trying to turn us against Yahweh in every way possible, through intellect. One of the reasons they want to give us this intellect is because of science, as I told you. The more intelligent we become, so-called intelligent, the less we are to ascribe to faith. Do you dig what I'm saying? Because it was the Pharisees themselves that said, "Show us a sign." They were scientists. They were Jews. They're the same people that do not have any faith in Yahweh today and hate him vehemently, and his children, whom we are. You know, it's really not that complicated. And I hope that I've clarified this very message to you. Next week, we will continue more in the book of Job, because it's an elegant or eloquent book. What Job just spoke in this third chapter is pretty amazing. Wait till I blow your mind and show you the speaking of Yahweh. I think you'll enjoy that part. However, it hurts as well to see that Job had to be put through that. But you may get a glimpse of your own judgment in watching and hearing Yahweh speak. Praise him, for the days are short. Praise him because he's worthy of it. Praise him because he is our righteousness. He does give and he does take away. Like Job said to his wife, should we only expect good from Yahweh and not evil? Does he not have a right to remove the dross from his children, from the gold tried by fire? See, the Freemasons changed that, and they talk about turning themselves into gold through their intellect. Funny how they have to copy everything Yahweh does. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.